This is you and Louis reading from Cormac McCarthy's The Crossing, pages 133 to 135. He crossed the small valley and rode west into the mountains. He'd no way to know how long he'd been in that country, but for all he'd seen of it, good or ill, which he pondered as he rode, he knew that he no longer feared whatever he might find there. Days to come he would encounter wild Indians deep in the sierras, living in the chozas and wickiups of their squalid rancherias, and Indians wilder yet who lived in caves, all of whom may well have thought him mad for the regard with which they treated him. They fed him, and the women washed his clothes and mended them, and sewed his boots with a homemade awl and ligaments from a hawk's foot. They spoke among themselves in their own tongue, or with him in their broken Spanish. They said that most of their young people had gone to work in the mines or in the cities or on the haciendas of the Mexicans, but that they did not trust the Mexicans. They traded with them in the small villages along the river, and sometimes they would stand in the outer ring of light and watch them at their festivals, but otherwise they kept to themselves. They said that it was the way of the Mexicans to blame them for the crimes they committed among themselves, and that the Mexicans would get drunk and kill each other, and then send soldiers into the mountains to seek them out. When he told them where he came from, he was surprised to find that they knew that country also, but of it they would not speak. No one tried to trade horses with him. No one asked him why he had come. They cautioned him only to lay clear of the Yaqui country to the west, because the Yaqui would kill him. Then the women packed for him a dinner of some dried and leathern meat or machaca, and parched corn and soot-stained tortillas, and an old man came forward and addressed him in a Spanish he could scarcely understand, speaking with great earnestness into the boy's eyes, and holding his saddle fore and aft so that the boy sat almost in his arms. He was dressed in odd and garish fashion, and his clothes were embroidered with signs that had about them the geometric look of instructions, perhaps a game. He wore jewelry of jade and silver, and his hair was long and blacker than his age would seem to warrant. He told the boy that although he was huérfano, still he must cease his wanderings and make for himself some place in the world, because to wander in this way would become for him a passion, and by this passion he would become estranged from men and so ultimately from himself. He said that the world could only be known as it existed in men's hearts, for while it seemed a place which contained men, it was in reality a place contained within them, and therefore to know it one must look there and come to know those hearts, and to do this one must live with men and not simply pass among them. He said that while the huérfano might feel that he no longer belonged among men, he must set this feeling aside, for he contained within him a largeness of spirit which men could see, and that men would wish to know him, and that the world would need him even as he needed the world, for they were one. Lastly, he said that while this itself was a good thing, like all good things, it was also a danger. Then he removed his hands from the boy's saddle and stepped away and stood. The boy thanked him for his words, but he said that he was in fact not an orphan, and then he thanked the women standing there and turned the horse and rode out. They stood watching him go. As he passed the last of the brush wickiups, he turned and looked back, and as he did so, the old man called out to him. "Eres," he said, "eres huérfano." But the boy only raised one hand and touched his hat and rode on. In 2 days he struck a wagon road passing east and west across the sierras. The woods were green with ilex and madroño. The road seemed little used. In a day's travel he passed no soul. He crossed through a high pass where the way was so narrow that the rocks bore old scars of wagon hubs, and below the pass were scattered stone cairns, the mojoneras de muerte of that country where travelers had been slain by Indians years before. The country seemed depopulate and barren, and he saw no game and saw no birds, and there was nothing about but the wind and the silence. At the eastern encampment, he dismounted and led the horse along a shelf of gray rock. The scrub juniper that grew along the rim leaned in a wind that had long since passed. Along the face of the stone bluffs were old pictographs of men and animals, and suns and moons, as well as other representations that seemed to have no referent in the world, although they once may have.